Secret Origins Podcast, episode 23. Lamest characters ever.
Wait, what?
Okay, roulette.
No.
The Legion?
What did you say? Suckiest suck of all what?
The suckiest suck of all of Suckdom.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Secret Origins Podcast. Oh god.
Did you just hit the record button?
Yes.
Sucks for it.
I am TMG1 Mike, and you are?
Lupus Convoy.
Yes. And up next, we will be doing three more episodes from Justice League Season 5.
They suck!
How do I unlock the Brainiac Code? You're a genius. Figure it out. Tell me, you leering, manipulative knuckle-dragger, or I'll...
Lex. You can't expect me to give up my only bargaining chip. What's in it for me?
When this is over, I'm going to sell your body for dog meat.
It must pain you to see me like this after what we've been to one another.
My taste in boyfriends has evolved. Wait, Lex. You're the leader now. You don't need to lock horns with him.
The only thing that matters now is a speck of information locked somewhere deep inside Grodd's thick skull.
Yes, okay. So we break his head open and take it.
Running some kind of organized group. I'm tired of just putting out fires.
We need to find his new secret society and take the fight to them.
Guys, I'm not arguing that. There's just gotta be another way.
This is it. When Grodd took control of your mind a couple of years ago, even though that connection was broken, he left a psychic resonance.
I can mystically access that resonance and trace it to Grodd wherever he hides.
And when we do find Grodd, we'll likely find Luthor, Bizarro, and any number of wanted criminals.
No doubt, but I don't like strangers nosing around in my brain. No offense, Doc.
I assure you, I won't be reading your thoughts. Your mind is simply a portal.
This really seems like it's more up Jean's alley.
Jean's not here.
What do you say we go check with Batman? He's got clues.
You saw Batman's report. Grodd covered all of his tracks.
We need to find him before he hurts anyone else, Flash. This may be our only shot.
Man.
First up today is the Great Brain Robbery. Lex Luthor, after trying repeatedly to resurrect Brainiac from his remaining fragment, realizes that Grodd must be blocking his access in some way. When Grodd refuses to talk, Luthor determines to force his way into Grodd's mind. Other members of the Legion, however, are dissatisfied with Luthor's leadership, fearing that he is unbalanced, but Luthor offers them a plan that will make them all rich. At the same time, Dr. Fate proposes that he try to locate Grodd by tracing the psychic residue left when Flash was under his mind control. The two processes are started at the exact same time, and Luthor and Flash's brains are accidentally switched.
But hilarity ensues.
Oh, yeah. Luthor, as Flash, immediately runs amok in the Watchtower.
Amok.
Looking for a way to escape and thinking of several new and destructive uses for Flash's powers. Flash, as Luthor, has to bluff his way through leadership of the Legion of Doom, especially while other members are becoming suspicious. He confronts Grodd, who has figured out what happened. He says he's not going to tell. Instead, he's going to enjoy waiting until Flash gives himself away. Luckily, Luthor had already explained his latest plan to the crew, so Flash doesn't have to reveal his ignorance. The plan is to steal a shipment of Euros from Casnia, which has recently switched to Eurozone currency. Flash goes along on the heist, but Luthor, in the Watchtower, telephones the Legion, reveals the truth. The Legion seizes Flash while Luthor diverts the pursuing League members to another part of the Watchtower and speeds onto the teleport pad. Mastrovic shuts off the artificial gravity. Luthor floats off the pad but uses Flash's speed to propel himself down, at which Mr. Terrific turns the gravity back on and Luthor hurtled into the floor, knocking himself out. Dr. Fate reverses the mind switch and Flash returns to his body. At the Legion's headquarters, Luthor is being held prisoner. Some of them aren't sure he's really been changed back, while Dr. Polaris announces that he doesn't care. He's taking over the Legion anyway. He prepares to kill Luthor, but Luthor merely touches a control on his belt, turning Polaris' power back on himself and also releasing Luthor from his bonds. He explains that in augmenting their abilities of all the Legion members, he also has given himself the power to override them. He's still in charge. Tala, who was getting to like the new Luthor, is disappointed.
That's kind of an understatement.
Good lord. My one problem with this whole scenario, when they capture Luthor as Flash, Lex Luthor's body with Flash in it, don't they know you're supposed to always handcuff somebody behind their back? Because when Luthor gets back into his body, he's sitting there with his hands, like his wrists are shackled, or his arms are shackled. But his hands, he can freely reach his damn belt.
Dude, they're villains. You're not that smart.
I know, that's true. Even though you're not going to agree with me, this episode is so awesome, no notes are needed.
Yeah, no.
Are we sure?
We're going to disagree on this.
Hold on. Are we sure it's really him? You want proof? Until he went off with the Marines, GL's nickname was Stop. You said you'd never tell anyone that story.
I know. I was just messing with your head. What was the nickname?
Lex, is that... Yeah, actually, I only have 3 notes for this now that I'm looking at them. Lex, is that really you? Of course it's me, you twit. Aww. I love this episode. And one of the reasons why I really love this episode, and Bruce Timm actually points it out on a special feature on the DVD disc, when they were doing like the little behind the scenes things for some of the episodes from this season. They realized that Michael Rosenbaum played the live-action Lex Luthor on Smallville. So they were like, oh, well, why don't we have Luthor's brain in Flash's body, but it be Michael Rosenbaum voicing him and vice versa with Flash in Luthor's body and having Clancy Brown voice him. Actually, Bruce Timm said that Michael Rosenbaum read all of Flash's lines that Luthor was to read, mm-hmm. and then Clancy Brown just went off of Michael Rosenbaum's inflections in his own voice. So everything that, like the plan and all that stuff, Michael Rosenbaum actually laid that out for Clancy Brown to say it the way he said it.
Nice.
Yes. All right. So what are your problems with this episode?
It was painful to watch. Just no. Wally trying to be Lex. So hard.
Oh, the other thing I should mention, they really, really covered their own ass on this one.
How so?
When Luthor Flash goes to vibrate through the door, and I forget who says it. I think it was Red Tornado who said it. Oh, his vibrations blew the door up. Green Lantern's like, yeah, that's why he doesn't go that fast anymore. It's a callback to Divided We Fall of Wally saying he can never go that fast again because it has major consequences. You want to know another little tidbit I found out watching that special feature on the DVD? Want to know who voiced Red Tornado?
Who?
Powers Booth.
Who?
Same voice as Grodd.
Really?
Bruce Timm said they had to so overpower the voice with the robot filter, because even putting it on there, you could still tell it was Powers Booth's voice. All right, so what else do you have a problem with this episode?
Casnia, again!
Well, it was mentioned, but it wasn't like we saw Queen Audrey again.
We need to come up with another country, like Carbombia.
Oh, God.
Okay, so someone explain to me, what the hell does Sinestro need Earth money for? Really? Why does he care about money?
Maybe he wants to go to some Chinese food restaurant. I don't know.
He's a villain. He just holds him up. Anyway, yay, we get to see Dr. Light. Yay! The good Dr. Light 2. Kaihiko, or whatever her name is. The Japanese one, as opposed to the serial rapist villain, Dr. Light.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure if Dr. Light really had that much to do in the cartoon, because I hadn't seen this episode in a while, and I actually had an action figure of her, and I was like, I'll sell this.
I liked her in the comics. But
again, you're the comic book guy, I'm not.
I am the comic book guy.
You're a skinny version of the comic book guy.
Definitely the worst comic ever. Okay, so I will give props to Bizarro in this episode, who points out that, you know, ever since the brain switch, he's been acting irrational and, you know, insane and not like himself. And then he says, "Are you Bizarro's mommy?
Am you Bizarro, mommy? Bizarro's mommy." Yeah, that was so hilarious. You do know that was George Newbern as Bizarro, right?
Yep.
Yep.
The bathroom scene where Tala's like, "No, you can't go in there, Dr. Polaris." And the whole verbal showdown between the two. And then he tries to leave Alexa's body out of the bathroom. And he's like, "Hey, aren't you going to wash your hands?" And without missing a beat, he's like, "No, I'm evil."
He's like, "No, because I'm evil." Yeah. You do know that Polaris, we covered this a couple episodes ago, Polaris is voiced by Michael Rosenbaum. Mm-hmm. What are you laughing at?
Nothing, just, it's all meta. He's talking, he's arguing with himself, you know, really.
It's true.
Okay, the one thing that really kind of bothered me the most, out of all the weapons and everything that he's thrown at poor John, Lex grabs yellow cheddar cheese and it makes it through the shield. Yellow cheese done in a Green Lantern. Okay, I think that's... Oh, wait, no, we got to see Ice finally show up and do some action, finally.
Yeah.
She didn't have the sweet, tricky disco voice, but...
Did she even talk?
She doesn't. But if she were to talk, she'd sound just like Tricky Disco from TFW. Because They're both from the same country. But, yeah. Because, you know, she's from Norway and Iceland.
Yes. All right, so we are moving on.
An extra added attraction tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Black Canary had so much fun, she's come back for more. And she's brought the Huntress with her. But they won't be fighting each other. They'll be fighting together. Huntress and Black Canary versus two new contenders. Vixen, the beauty with the beast powers, and the Thanagar Thrasher, Hawk Girl. Ladies and gentlemen, place your bets.
Looks like we're in this together. If you call me girlfriend, I'm gonna dropkick you into the next county. Now don't go all sentimental.
Next up, we got Grudge Match. Roulette informs Lex Luthor that Metaboral's receipts have dwindled to almost nothing due to the poor quality of the fighters on exhibit. Together with the hefty cut that Luthor demands of all Legion of Doom members, she's having trouble keeping ends meet. How the hell did she get into the Legion? She asked for a loan of a few Legion members to increase interest. Luthor, as always, is preoccupied with trying to resurrect Brainiac, but realizes that he needs funds to construct a new device. When an overprotective Tala starts threatening her, Roulette comes up with a new idea, an all-female fight card. Why did it take her so damn long? During a joint night patrol of the city streets, Huntress notices that Black Canary is so exhausted that she has trouble subduing a pickpocket, who manages to knock her down with a single punch, at least three times. Oh, one punch reference! Huntress suspects something is up, but the question is skeptical. Planting a homing device on Canary's motorcycle, Huntress follows her to Bloodhaven, and after knocking out a number of guards, Huntress goes secret identity, entering a new spiffy arena where she is surprised to see Canary in a brutal fight against Fire, which the former wins. Roulette, acting as MC, calls Canary the undefeated champion of her new enterprise, Glamour Slam. God. Huntress confronts Canary afterwards, asking what's going on. Canary attacks her then. As she's already tired from the fight, Huntress manages to knock her down. In the fight, however, Canary's League communicator is smashed, and Canary awakens, as if from a trance. Both of them are taken prisoner by the villain Sonar, who is assisting Roulette. They realize that, on Luthor's suggestion, Roulette has been using Grodd's mind control technology to recruit female Leaguers to fight in a ring. Roulette informs them, though, that now that they are free of her control, she has to get rid of them, and might as well make a show for it. That night, Roulette announces... Having technical difficulties? Thank you, office.
Announces a double match. Huntress and Canary.
Versus Vixen and Hawkgirl. Wow, so many things that can be said there.
I will say them all later.
With difficulty, the two manage to smash the other's communicators and free them from the mind control. Then Roulette reveals her final contender, Wonder Woman, who is more than powerful enough to take them all down. As Vixen and Hawkgirl fight a losing battle to hold off Wonder Woman, and Canary and Huntress break out of the ring's cage and make their way to the control center. Sonar stuns Canary with his ultrasound equipment, while Huntress is surprised to find that Roulette is actually a skilled and deadly martial artist herself. As Vixen and Hawkgirl fight a losing battle to hold off Wonder Woman, Canary and Huntress break out of the ring's cage and make their way to the control center. Sonar stuns Canary with its ultrasound equipment, while Huntress is surprised to find that Roulette is actually a skilled and deadly martial artist herself. She gains the upper hand, however, and disables both her and Sonar. She orders him then to kill the mind control signal. Below, Wonder Woman has Vixen and Hawkgirl thrashed and helpless, and the signal is interrupted a split second before she smashes their skulls together. Roulette and Sonar are arrested, and the rest of the League members are released. Canary thanks Huntress and offers to get her reinstated in the League. Huntress thanks her, but declines. Before going home, the two women decide to have one last rematch. Okay, let's hear your thoughts.
Aha! 32 flavors.
Aglets.
A-G-L-E-T. Don't forget.
Trust me, I try, but you won't let me.
No, but seriously, when question goes, aha, 32 flavors, he mentions that in an earlier episode, that there are 32 flavors, and he actually finds the 32nd flavor. Black Canary and Huntress versus Hot Girl and Vixen. Wow. If only they were naked in a tub of pudding.
Yawn.
And then I honestly was shocked when Wonder Woman came out. I mean, because I was trying to think, like, who else out of the League's female heroes?
Stargirl.
No.
Kara.
No. I have a huge problem with this, though. What the fuck? I know it's Grodd's mind control and all that through the comlinks, but seriously, how did they even manage to get them like that? I mean, how did they manage to get all of these Justice League women?
And no one noticed that they were missing?
Exactly.
It's because you get rid of your Martian, you lose all protection from mind control. I'm telling you.
Good Lord.
This was a bad episode.
I will say this is a pretty bad episode because that is a gaping fucking plot hole. Seriously, no one else in the League
it's so
notices.
Big you could fly Mogo through it.
Yeah.
So what are you wearing? Orange socks?
Blue overcoat, fedora.
You're not terribly good at this, are you?
No.
Orange socks?
And
do you have any more notes?
No, that's it.
Okay. The start of it, and I went, seriously? Ugh. Fucking roulette. Yay, Black Canary, yay, Huntress. And then they're saying about how Huntress doesn't care about anyone for herself. And I'm like, didn't we just have that huge, like, relationship building thing in the last episode? What happened to her boyfriend? Orange socks. Okay. What else do we've got there? Look out, Black Canary. She's Brazilian.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work here.
What else? Where did Huntress's outfit go? That's going to be a huge frickin' purse.
Yeah, that's a little... Maybe it turns inside out.
The headdress, though?
Yeah, that's
true. Become the panties.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
What else we got? I've got, Vixen, you ass, you turned into a donkey. No roulette, your ass still looks flat, and that tattoo still looks like shit. I really hate that character. I'm sorry, I hate her. It's gotten under my nerves. And then the surprise ending of during the battle with Wonder Woman, Shayera gets her ankle snapped by Diana.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that could bend that way.
No, that
as a
was...
medical professional.
Yeah, that was brutal.
But at least, you know, she'd fly and keep off her ankle.
Yeah, that was really, really brutal, though. But I gotta say, regardless of how bad this episode is, I loved seeing Hawk Girl just outright beat people to death.
Or a close approximation thereof.
No, but seriously, because, I mean, most of the Leaguers, Superman mostly, but I mean, most of the Leaguers that have superpowers have to keep them in check. You know, and here's an I swear, I've never seen Wonder Woman fight like that in this cartoon series. Not knocking people out that hard.
Hmm.
And I think that part of the mind control thing was getting rid of their inhibitions and their will to control their powers, obviously. And just seeing them go at it was just – I loved it. Again, if they were naked and there was a tub of pudding, it would be better. But still awesome.
And hair pulling and
– I would say add something else, but – I'm not going to go there. That would make this podcast episode triple X rated. Quite no, literally.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, so for those of you who are listening to the podcast and have no idea why I'm laughing just know that what I was about to say right before my laughing would have been too explicit for the show. So, yeah, we'll be back. And actually, we're going to move on.
History says Supergirl never returned from this mission because she decided to stay in the future.
Whatever abducted them didn't leave any traceable energy signature. Maybe Dr. Fate or Zatanna. Where's Kara?
She asked us to give you this.
Tell Ma and Pa I love them. And I love you too, Clark. Don't take this the wrong way, but I've found a place where I can make a difference. Where I'm more than just Superman's kid cousin. I feel I belong here. Also, I met this boy.
You should have seen her. She was amazing.
She's a grown woman now. Capable of choosing.
Kara's headstrong, but she's always made good decisions. I trust her judgment. But you were right, Ollie. I wish I had told her.
It's okay, Clark. She knows.
Now, this boy Kara likes so much, does he have a name?
Finally up today is Far From Home. Supergirl is training under the watchful eyes of Jon Stewart, Green Arrow, and her cousin, Superman. She speaks alone to Green Lantern, voicing a desire for recognition as fully matured Justice Leaguer in her own right. At the same time, she wishes her cousin to know how proud she is to carry on his legacy. Consequently, Superman is concerned that his own reputation might unfairly overshadow Supergirl's, and he too wishes to tell her that she is more than worthy of the S-Shield. Before the two adopted cousins can reconcile, Supergirl, Arrow, and Lantern are whisked away in a flash of energy. The energy flash is a time machine activated by Brainiac 5 and Bouncing Boy, the only two remaining members of the 30th century Legion of Superheroes. I think that's supposed to say 31st century. Of superheroes. The remainder of the team has been captured by the Fatal Five, who have placed every member of the Populous Legion under their mind control, and they'll be coming for the final two soon. Brainiac 5 and Bouncing Boy activate the time machine to get help from the legendary Age of Heroes, the 21st century. Choosing three heroes at random, however, as BB reminds Brainy, history of events that show three heroes disappeared from the 21st century, but only two returned alive. According to Bouncing Boy, Supergirl is fated to die in the 31st century. After a brief misunderstanding, Brainiac 5 explains that he is one of the good guys, and though he is somehow organically descended from the evil original Brainiac of Krypton, the three displaced Justice Leaguers agree to help just in time to fight with the invading Fatal Five. What the hell was that?
Those would be spinning tires on ice.
For a second there, I thought it was like a weird police siren. Yikes. In the melee, Green Lantern is captured but put under mind control by the Emerald Empress, who recognizes the Lantern's Ring as one of the most powerful weapons in galactic history and wishes to make use of it. After capturing Bouncing Boy as well, the Fatal Five retreats to tend to their larger plans, an invasion of the Capital Planet. While planning a counterattack on the Fatal Five, Green Arrow has noted a fast-growing attraction between Supergirl and Brainiac Five. He encourages the spark between the two while using 31st-century technology to upgrade his arrows. The three heroes attack the F5's ship in order to deactivate the mind control device that is affecting the Legion. However, the attack is not swift enough, and the Fatal Five calls in the entire mind-controlled Legion of Superheroes and Green Lantern to stop Supergirl, Brainiac 5, and Arrow. Supergirl knows she is the only person who could possibly keep the Legion at bay for a few crucial moments. Before she can leave, Brainiac 5 tells her of her destiny. She will not return to the 20th century, first century, meaning this is very likely the last day and end in her death. Supergirl kisses Brainiac and flies into battle with the Legion, holding her own against incredible numbers. However, Green Lantern unleashes a powerful attack, which finally overcomes Kara. Lantern throws Supergirl violently through a building and starts to crush her in cosmically powered vice grip. As the mind control device is deactivated, John Stewart picks up Kara's body, fearing that he may have killed her, while being unable to stop his action. Somehow, Arrow and Brainiac have managed to stop the controller, but they must still deal with the 5-2 odds, and are about to fail when Lantern, Supergirl, and the Legion arrive to quickly subdue the villains. As the three heroes are honorary Legionnaires, Supergirl takes control of the destiny that has been laid out before her. She has found a place in the 31st century amongst technology comparable to that of her lost homeworld, Argo. And she has grown very fond of Brainiac 5. She elects to stay behind or head and gives Arrow and Lantern a message for her cousin, Kal-El. Back in the 21st century, Superman expresses pride in Supergirl and hopes that Kara knows of his sentiment. Green Arrow assures Superman that indeed she does and looks at Green Lantern uncomfortably when Superman asks the name of the young man that Kara is taking a liking to. Dun dun dun!
He's named what?
Brainiac 5!
Oh god, that's a horrible name. Horrible episode.
Supergirl never returns from the future. Rut-row, Raggy. And that was before we found out that she was actually staying in the future, but that was like when she was supposed to die. Future tech, Green Arrow stuff. Sweet!
And Dinah said that Buzzsaw Arrow was
self-indulgent. oh no, Kara's dead, yikes. Because honestly, that's what we all thought.
Well, some of us.
Kind
of.
I put a little spin on the last line in the synopsis there. Now, this boy that Kara likes so much, does he have a name? Run!
Roro-Raggy.
Yeah, really. What about you? What do you got?
The Legion. Brainiac, level 12. Bouncing Boy, most useless superhero ever. Superman, you're still a dick. And poor John, always with the time travel. Always.
Yep. Just
get stuck with it.
Yep.
Okay, so GA, you are a bad person.
Why?
Here, I'm gonna go for a long time. You guys get to know each other. I'm gonna go raid your armory.
Oh, come on.
Pimpin' out, Kara, come on.
Come on, dude. That was cool.
The relationship felt totally forced. It felt hollow and forced.
I will say that I'm sorry. There's no way. Like, I believe in love at first sight, but
it's not like that.
Not like that.
Yeah, I was not too thrilled with that. I was like, boy.
I like the fact that she made a point of saying that, you know, she found a place and she can actually be her own person. I like that point. But the fact that she's staying with someone named Brainiac 5, regardless of his past or whatever, as far as Brainiac himself,
The question is, where's the organic part coming from? And is the organic part coming from Luther?
Is probably.
So not only is it a Brainiac, it's a Luther, too. That just sets all sorts of domestic problems.
I can see the wedding invitation now. Kara Zor-El and Brainiac 5 wish to invite you to their 31st century wedding. I don't know.
Oh my God. Can you see what happens if they bring poor Kyle back from the future? Or from the past? You know, Superman shows up and he just kills the groom.
Yep.
Brainiac!
Yep.
It just... It just doesn't say that it's going to end well. I mean...
Yeah, no. What else you got for this one?
That's all I've got. God.
I will say one thing, though. I absolutely loved the image of Supergirl, her lifeless body just laying there, like right after the shot of Green Lantern that he's almost going to shoot her to death, and then he wakes up. I love that shot, and that shot will be the podcast art for this episode, because that was just so awesome.
I've seen the actual Legion TV show, like the one that came out a while ago, and I like those character designs a lot more than I like the ones that we got in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's Legion. Ugh.
Yeah, Justice League is much more awesome rather than Legion of Superheroes. It's kind of like combining the Legion of Doom with superheroes. That makes no sense.
Well, I mean, some of them were just, I don't know, Phantom Girl and Bouncing Boy, and even Chameleon or Changeling, whichever name he was going to go by. It just, ugh.
So,
Saturn Girl! Yeah!
So I have a question for you, Mr. Green Lantern aficionado.
Yes.
What's her name? The little villainous Empress of whatever.
Emerald Empress?
Whatever the fuck her name is. She basically says, oh, Green Lantern, we haven't seen one of those around in years or centuries or whatever. So you're telling me that the Green Lantern Corps is dead by the 31st century?
It is dead by the 31st century.
Are you serious?
The Legion had the last Green Lantern alive who dies. And then they resurrect one other Green Lantern who ended up being Ion, who is trying to rebuild the Green Lantern Corps. But the reason this happens is because Mogo, the giant planet Green Lantern, is actually the one that redirects all the Green Lantern rings to the new recruits. He's like the giant supercomputer. At some point in the future, Mogo dies, and the rest of the Green Lantern dies.
Oh, damn.
So even the Guardians die at some point. We don't know what it is, but it's down the pipeline.
Wow, that sucks.
Yes, and they alluded to that fact with the War of Light that happened recently with all the Green Lantern Corps that were coming out. And
yeah.
Red and... So it's in the comics, it's a wait-and-see thing. It's going to happen eventually. We just don't know who's going to be the one to kick it off.
That really sucks.
Yeah, I don't want Guy to die.
Well, I don't mind if he dies, but I don't want John or Hal or Kyle to die.
Kyle, that little bitch.
I don't want, well, it's more specifically John and Kyle, because I like both of them, but I don't want them to die, and I don't want Kilowog or Cat Matui to die either, so... Anyway, we're going to move on to the outro before Lupus over there decides to jump through my computer and strangle me to death.
We can't do that, silly.
Guys, I was starting to think I was going to go out as the bottom of a supervillain dog pile.
It sounds like Wally, but is there any way to be sure?
You want proof? Until he went off into the Marines, GL's nickname was...
Stop!
Michael!
Take it back, bitch!
Yes. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Secret Origins podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The surname there is Secret Origins. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
Caminiti Style. CaminiTiStyle.
Mickey Mouse. Become a fan of... Yeah, Mickey Mouse. Become a fan on Facebook. Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing the final three episodes of Justice League Season 5, those being Ancient History, Alive, and Destroyer. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.